Hallelujah! Again, we come together in the name of Jesus to bring the Word of God. Over the last week, I've been listening to different teachers on the internet who I pay attention to. And many, many people are writing in or emailing, "Is this the tribulation? Is the Antichrist going to appear on the scene?" And those teachers who have been studying the end times have to tell them, no, this is not the Antichrist. This is not the tribulation. That's the beginning here of sorrows that the Bible predicted is going to, that these things will happen. As we get closer to the end, we will see viruses, we will see earthquakes, and the intensity of these things will increase. So we need to get to know the Lord. The Bible teaches us that God loves us very much, and He does not want us to lose hope and to put our eyes on Him, of Him. He says, "Look unto me. I am the one that's in control." In Titus chapter 2 in verse 11, look what it tells the believer to do. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." So I got to ask a question to the church. Are you looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to appear, or are you looking for the Antichrist? The Bible teaches us here we should look for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that should give us a hint that the Antichrist is not going to come before Jesus Christ, our hope comes. So today I want to teach on an interesting message which will show you the difference between the church and the tribulation saints. First of all, they pray differently. That's an interesting one. And second of all, they have something different to look forward to. The church is looking for a comfort. The tribulation saints are looking to get killed. That's their hope of getting into heaven. That's an interesting one. How do I know that? It is written in Scripture. So today, before we get into this message, we will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the grace of God. I thank You for the book, Lord, that You have left us so there does not need to be any confusion. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will touch people today so that they'll understand and see that the glorious hope, the soon coming back of our Jesus, will become real to them. So, Lord, You will bless and anoint this message in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it tells us, "But of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." A thief comes when somebody least expects him. With this virus that we have today, everybody seems to expect him. They're asking, is the tribulation now going on? Is the Antichrist going to appear? Well, we are not living in a time of prosperity yet. We see turbulence all over the world. I believe the Bible teaches us we will live in a time of prosperity where the power of God will come upon this world. Many people will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are going to turn to Christ are going to become more godly. Those who will turn away from Christ will become more and more wicked till the day where God will say, this is enough. And then things will change drastically. The Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So that tells us that it'll be like in the days of Noah. Men were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood took them all away. So, as I see here, there's going to be a time of prosperity, a time of peace. And I believe with Donald Trump at the steering wheel, we are going to head into that time. So we will see what will happen. Let's look on to Jesus, for he's the author and finisher of our faith. So God wants us to understand that. What is the child of God do? He's supposed to look on to Jesus. He's supposed to expect Jesus to come back. It's the blessed hope that the Bible is talking about. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it tells us, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We should wait for Jesus to come back. Many people are so wrapped up in this world today that they simply don't seem to care whether Jesus is going to come back. Corrie ten Boom made a statement, don't hold on to this world so hard that God is going to have to wrench it from your hands. Because I tell you what, if you belong to Jesus, he will wrench it from your hands one way or another. I would suggest that you pick the easy way, give your life and heart to Jesus, live soberly, live for Christ, so that you will be one of those that will expect to Jesus, that will expect Jesus to come. There are those who claim that they practice rapture every day. They jump up into the air, but they still have to come down. One of these days, they'll go up and stay up there. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. We'll go up to meet him in the clouds. So this is how it's going to come to an end for this dispensation of time. It tells us the salt of the earth has to be removed. The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. So the church is commanded to comfort and edify one another, especially as you see those days approaching. He said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's a comfort that we can comfort one another with. I remember listening to a preacher that had, his church had about 1,000 people. And he did not know much about the end times, but he must have read a portion in the Revelation that talks about the tribulation signs. And he told them, the only thing I can tell you that is waiting for us in the future is for all of our heads to be chopped off. That's not much of a comfort. But the Bible teaches we're not appointed unto wrath. We're going to be evacuated before the tribulation. That is a comfort where the Apostle Paul tells us, comfort yourselves together, especially as you see that day approaching. So here we are. We are right at the doorstep of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. We don't have much time left. The signs of the times are definitely telling us We are at the door where he's going to come. We may have a few years where we can still reach people for Christ. But those who reject, those who are nonchalant, they may get to have a hardened heart. And we all know what happened to Pharaoh in Egypt. As his heart grew harder, he became the victim of his own hardness. He died and was rejected by God throughout the eternities. So how about us? What shall we do while we're here? First of all, we need to reach out to people. This ministry is preaching the gospel all across Canada. We are on YouTube, we're on the internet, and we try to preach to reach people with the gospel. People need to hear that Jesus loves them. It's not a religious organization. It's not a religious system. We preach Christ and Him crucified. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. We are the ones that bring this to the masses. God has told us, go into all the world, preach the gospel. But here is how we pray for people. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 44, the church has been commanded to pray for people. Jesus tells them, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For me he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? So if you are a Christian, what are you commanded to do? You're to pray for your enemies. You got to love them. And if you got the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you will love your enemies because you experienced the love of Christ that He had for you. You once were separated from God. And we all know that we weren't any goody-two-shoes. We all know that we were full of sin, dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible calls us. And once we experience that forgiveness, once we experience the glory of God, the Spirit of the living God within us, then it should be easy to love our enemies. It should be easy to pray for them. It should be easy to forgive them. This is what the church is commanded to do, to love your enemy, to do good to them, to pray for them. Even those that despitefully use you. Sometimes that's hard. I know that. I've been through these situations. But when God shows you their end, then you start having compassion for them because they do not know any better. They are following their father, the devil, which has put his spirit into them at the time of conception. We all inherit the nature of Satan because we were sold out by Adam. But once you become born again by the Spirit of God, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. I listened to one preacher say not too long ago, we are not made in the image of God. Adam was made in the image of God, but then after that he sinned. And now we are made in the image of Adam. But once we become born again, we then are made in the image of God because we start to have the mind of Christ in us. So this is what God is telling the Church of Jesus Christ to how to pray and what to pray for. Now I want to switch a little bit here. What are the tribulation saints in for? What is their destination? How do they pray? For those of you who have problems with believing in the rapture, you need to pay close attention in the difference of the prayer of the church and the prayer of the tribulation saints. You need to pay attention in what the comfort of the church is, and if you want to call it comfort, the comfort of the tribulation saints. Quite a difference. It tells us in Revelation 7, chapter 7 in verse 13, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And where do they come from? And he said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." For during the tribulation, many, many, many people, many millions of people will be turning to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We will have 144,000 angels and Jewish people preaching the gospel. We will have an angel flying through the heavens preaching the everlasting gospel. We will have two witnesses preaching Jesus, preaching the everlasting gospel. And through their ministry, many, many will turn to God. But what is their end? What is their hope? It's quite different from the church. I will show you what their end is. You need to listen carefully. And in Revelation chapter 6 in verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain from the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood from on them that dwell on the earth?" Are they praying for God to forgive them, like Jesus teaches the church? Are they praying for God to be at ease and to accept this persecution that is coming upon them? It says they're crying, "When will you judge and avenge us?" That's quite a difference. We need to understand these things. Otherwise, we don't understand end time teaching. "And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season." And here is the comfort that they're receiving. And that is quite different from the comfort that the church is receiving. It tells us, "Wait yet a little season until your fellow servants and also their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." What is the comfort of the tribulation saint? The comfort is to get as killed as quickly as possible, because all of them will have to die for their faith. The Bible teaches us something very interesting, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But the tribulation saints, the Bible teaches us clearly that the Antichrist will prevail against them and will slaughter them and kill them. Like it says here, "Wait yet a little season until your fellow servants and also their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." What a difference. What a difference in those two. The church of Jesus Christ is told to comfort one another because we are not appointed unto wrath. We're waiting for God's glorious appearing, the blessed hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, to come and take us from this terrible time of judgment that is coming upon the earth. But those poor tribulation saints, I firmly believe they'll be so filled with the Holy Spirit that they will willingly run towards being killed. Every now and then, I hear some Christian bragging, "Oh, when we're in the tribulation, we're gonna shine brightly. Our lights will shine the brightest then." Yes, we see it. right now with this coronavirus as they hide behind their doors, a lot of the churches. So God wants us to understand there is a big difference between the church and the great tribulation saints. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again, I'll read it. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That's very easy to understand. If we get together, we comfort and edify one another. This is why I enjoy getting together with believers who have the same hope that I have, the blessed hope and the soon appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you get together with saints who do not believe in the rapture, it doesn't take long. You get into an argument, and there goes your fellowship, and you don't know if you should go back and visit again, because it leaves a spirit that doesn't feel good, because we should be at peace with one another. The Bible teaches us we should teach each other and help and comfort one another. And here's what happens again. I'll read what happens to the tribulation saints. Revelation chapter 6, verse 11. White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. What a difference. What a terrible place to be when the time of the tribulation will appear. But for those of us who know Jesus, I want to explain this again. Titus chapter 2, you can look it up for yourself. Are you looking for the Antichrist, or are you looking for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Are you more afraid of Jesus coming back and hoping that the Antichrist will come, the tribulation, so that you can kind of prove yourself? That tells me you're not living for God, or that your faith isn't what it's supposed to be. I almost believe that Christians who'd rather have the tribulation are not quite ready for Jesus to come back. You need to look at yourself with honesty. Do I want Jesus to come, or do I want the Antichrist to come so I can prove myself? We don't have to prove ourselves. We have been made clean, pure, and holy by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made us without spot or wrinkle. We are his purchased possession. We have been sealed unto the day of redemption. The power of God is working in us. We should not be afraid of Jesus coming back. But people today are looking for the Antichrist instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what Titus chapter 2 tells us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that we should denying ungodly lust and ungodliness and worldly lust, live a godly life. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. The blessed hope, the imminent return of Jesus. It could come at any moment. And then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. We'll have a body like he has. And then we'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, where we ever shall be with the Lord. This is our future. This is our hope. This is what we should strive for. And if a person would look at the scripture and study it, on a daily basis, his heart would start to fill up with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Here is how it works when you study the Word of God. When you study the Word of God, you are seeking treasure. When you read the Word of God, something happens. You're filling up your gas tank so that when you are going to need that Word, God is going to bring it to remembrance. It's like putting gas in a car. When the car needs the gas, it's there. This is why we need to read scriptures on a daily basis. I want to explain something here. I've been a Christian for around 40 years, maybe a little longer. And hardly a day has passed that I have not taken the Word of God into my hands and read it on a daily basis. I'm not talking about the time I spent studying the Word. I'm not bragging about this. This is a fact. And all Christians who know the Lord need to do the same. Never mind being involved in some god of this world that takes most of your attention. You need to turn to Jesus and become a child of the kingdom of God, where you can lift your head up and be proud of the God that you serve. Never mind being ashamed when the time for you to witness for Him comes. So I want you to open your heart to this. In this time of trouble, in this time of uncertainty, you can spend your time in the Word of God. Shut off your TV for a while. Never mind those video games. Never mind movies. Study the Word of God, and God will open your heart to His truths that you never even knew were there. So let the Lord bless you and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.